And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That would be Alabama. And I mean to say, this show, we send our signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, we're going to go to the phones right away. I want to spend some time talking with Congressman Robert Aderholt. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Alabama. He has actually been my personal congressman now for a number of years. He's also earned seniority. He is currently the chairman of the Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor, Health, and Human Services, which makes him one of the senior members of House Appropriations. And we're going to talk to him about districting and maybe a few other things. So without further ado, Congressman Aderholt, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you, Phil.
Well, thank you for making some time. I know you got a lot going on up there in D.C., and that's where you're back in D.C. right now, I think, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, we're in session. I've already voted. We've been voting earlier this afternoon. We'll be voting later this afternoon into the early evening. And, just meeting. So, yeah, we're going full speed ahead. It's hot up here. It's summertime, but I'm sure it's hot down there as well.
It is, but I swear I think D.C. has its own like climate. It's kind of different.
Well, I have a theory. I think it's all of this concrete and limestone and marble, and it holds all the heat in and never really gets hot, and then it never really cools down. So I think that has a factor in there. I don't know that it's been scientifically proven, but it's my theory, and I'm sticking with it.
We'll take it and run. Hey, let me ask you this, Congressman. So I've been talking on the show here quite a bit. We had a feature on it yesterday and some last week about the court mandate to redraw the congressional district lines. And so I am sitting in the position right now, me personally speaking. I have been in your district now in Etowah County for as long as I can remember. As the lines are drawn now, I would be out of your district for the first time in, Lord, what, 30, 40 years.
Well, I was thinking about that the other day. I know that when Tom Bevel was elected to Congress in 1966, I'm almost certain that Etowah County was a part of it. So you go figure. That's we're talking well over five decades.
Yeah, at least. Well, your thoughts. I mean, you've got relations. You even got an office right here in Etowah County. But your thoughts
on
the new?
I do. I have an office in Gadsden. Yes.
I know Pam's been sitting at that desk for a bit. But let me ask you this: your thoughts, first of all, on the changing of the lines, and where do you see this going with the court having to review it all on August 14th?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, going back to recap for those of your listeners who may not remember the details of it, but you know, the last lines that were redrawn after the 2020 census was in 2021, which was every state had to redo their congressional district lines, which is the normal process, just to make sure that everybody is equally represented, so that one district is not oversized or is smaller than another district, so that equally across this country, it doesn't matter if you live in California, New York, you are represented. You're in a congressional district that has the same amount of population as someone in any other state. So, first of all, that was done. They worked on the map. They passed it. I think everybody thought it was a good map. But there was this pending lawsuit about whether there should be two minority districts in the state of Alabama. And so... We have one African-American district in the state of Alabama, which is the 7th district that Terry Sewell currently represents. And if it were to be, if you were to change it, two of the seven then would be African-American. Now, the court, when they came out with this ruling back probably about a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, they said that there has to be an opportunity district for African-American to be elected, because obviously in the African-American district, on the 7th district, I want to say it's about 58% African-American is what it has historically been. And, of course, that assures that an African-American are represented, that they are not. And I think that goes back to the Voting Rights Act, that they have to be represented, and certainly that's been the case for the last several decades. However, this lawsuit's coming in and saying now there has to be another district that at least the African American community has an opportunity to be elected. And so that's what this all was about. And so they were trying to draw another district. The district that made the most sense of doing that was down in the southern part of the state, was in the second district that Barry Moore currently represents. And so Barry, the district was that he represents, the second district was reconfigured. And now that percentage of African-American is up to 39.9%, I believe, is the number that they finally agreed upon. And so that's sort of where we are. But obviously, when you start shifting counties around and population around, which they did in that case, it has a domino effect on other districts.
Right.
And that's what we saw from the fourth district that I represent, because just because you change something in the southern part of the state, there's only seven of us who represent the state, so you've got to have equal representation. So it's when you squeeze in one, it's going to sort of like squeezing a balloon. It's when you squeeze one area, some area other is going to pop out and have more, get larger. So, like I said, the domino effect is what really made things different from this from this court case that was that had to be addressed. And that's what the legislature had to do. And, you know, there were probably a lot of different ways you could draw these districts. And, of course, I was not excited about losing Etowah County. I also lost Lawrence County.
Right.
You know, I understand there has to be some changes according to that court order. So we'll see how it goes from here.
So what, in practicality, let me ask you this, in practicality, what happens with the Etowah County? Did you have an office in Lawrence County also?
No, I didn't have an office in Lawrence County. I got an office in the Shoals.
Okay.
And that office, that, and nothing up there really changed. Well, actually, I did get more of Lauderdale County, but that was not really close to where the office was. But obviously, I have an office in Gadsden that we'll have to, you know, certainly have to. I don't know if Mike Rogers, who will now be representing, he represents the 3rd District, whether he will want to have an office there. I assume he has an office in Anniston.
He does.
I don't know. We'll just cross that bridge when we get there. I still represent Marshall. I still represent DeKalb. I will also be now representing Blount again. So, yeah, we'll just pleb here to see where it is. But now bear in mind, this will not come into effect until after the next election.
Right.
So these district lines will not be. So I'll still be representing you, as you mentioned, and I'm honored that I have opportunity to represent you and of course, everyone in Etowah County. But all of this will stay the same until January of 2025. So this is not something that takes place next month or next week. This is something that's going to be a while before it takes place, but obviously it will change with the next election.
Well, and it will. And I mean, I cannot imagine that we may see. By the way, it could change again, because we know right now on August 14th they're going to have another hearing.
That's the other side of the story. Is the this all goes to court on the 14th of August, and the court will listen to the arguments of for the state for making these changes and how they made the changes and whether the court feels that it was in keeping with what their court order was. And if they feel like it was not, then they may say this was not, we wanted an opportunity district, and 39.9 is not enough of a percentage of African-American vote to qualify. Now, the hard thing about this that the legislature had to do is they didn't have any real guidelines. Or did not tell them, say, it must be 39, it must be 42, it must be 45, it must be 49. Or 50. They just said an opportunity district. And I guess that's everybody would have a different opinion about that. So that will be the topic on August the 14th, assuming that's when the court case still proceeds at that, when it's scheduled. And they will discuss whether that is what the court had in mind, and the court will take it under advisement. And I would think within a week or two after that hearing, that they'll come and say, yes, that is fine. The legislature did what we requested. Or they may say, no, it wasn't good enough. So that at that point, they would draw the district lines. And it's my understanding the legislature would not then have another opportunity. So it would be, they would have to, the court would appoint someone a special master to go in and draw new district lines, and you know, who knows what that could be. So, yeah. You know, Etowah County may be back in the congressional yeah. district. So, who knows? We're all sort of just
it's like the hokey pokey. Right, we're going to be one step in and one step out.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wait and see. The bottom line is, you are the current dean of the U.S. delegation for Alabama, if I'm not mistaken, the senior member of the congressional
yeah, I am
delegation.
A dean of the House delegation, and now since Senator Shelby is retired, I'm actually now dean of the for the House and the Senate for the Alabama delegation, and so you know, honored to represent the 4th district, and thankful that I have an opportunity to work on issues and stand up for the values and the principles that I think Alabamians believe in, and same issues I believe in.
Well, and I appreciate that, and I'd certainly agree with you and share that sentiment. Hey, let me ask you about. Tell you what, we got about 2 or 3 minutes left, Congressman. Let me switch gears entirely. I asked your permission before we went on the air just to make sure you're good with me bringing up a topic. Two things. One is Hunter Biden today just went in to get his what some called a sweetheart plea deal in court on the tax evasion and gun charges. And lo and behold, his plea deal fell apart. The judge would not accept it. And the prosecutors announced when the judge questioned that he is still currently under another investigation. They declined to say for what. And so the plea deal fell apart, and he had to plead guilty and walk out without a deal. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I was at a luncheon when sort of all this started breaking, and it was I was with Jonathan. I was at a luncheon where Jonathan Turley, who you may be familiar with,
he's
a guest on Fox News sometimes, a law professor here in the Washington area, and he was commenting on that. That's not what he came to talk about, because obviously no one knew that, but from just the little information that I've received and some references he made, I think it has to do something with the understanding that all the parties had, that, you know, whether Hunter Biden could be charged again, you know, that was up in the air, and there was some misunderstanding of whether, if this plea agreement went forward, whether there could be charges brought forward, and as you say, that he's currently under investigation. So I think there was, as they say in law school, there's not a meeting of the minds.
Right.
And I think they were not, everybody was not on the same page, and so I think that's why the judge was apprehensive to do this, and rightly so. And so they need to make sure that everybody was in agreement, and it wasn't everybody was just giving a wink and a nod as to what was happening. So, you know, I think this was probably a good thing to make sure everybody's on the same page and everybody has the same understanding.
Well, I think it's certainly a good thing to restore some faith in the process, too, for the average citizen who watches what appears to be a level of favoritism or comfort zone given to someone who nobody else would have potentially gotten the same deal, is the way it feels.
Yeah, I think a wink and the nod was that the judge maybe said that's not going to cut it.
Hey, last question for you, Congressman, with about a minute and a half left tops here. Just this afternoon, I mean, literally right before you came on the show, Senator Mitch McConnell, minority leader in the Senate, apparently had some type of a health issue. I'm not sure if you saw it or not, but he was at the podium giving a presser, had other members of the Senate Republican caucus around him, and just completely went catatonic. I mean, I've watched the video. He was in mid-sentence and just stopped and stood there gripping the podium. Looked like he didn't quite know where he was, couldn't find words, and was non-responsive for about 30 seconds. And other senators finally stepped in and began to kind of lead him off the podium. We've heard now that he's doing okay, but your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I just heard about it right before I talked to you as well, and I've not even seen the video, but you know, he had a fall back about 2 or 3 months ago,
yeah,
and was out for quite some time. I don't recall exactly how old he is now. He is pretty sure he's in his early 80s.
81.
And so, you know, he has not been in the best health over the last, and I think a lot of people have speculated that he may not have been in the best health. I say he's not been in the best health. There's speculation. Nobody really knows. But, you know, he has been here a long time, and as you say, you know, you say he's 81. I didn't know exactly how old he was, but I know he's been here a long time, and he's been, had some health concerns. So this is not surprising, but at the same time, it is surprising that if he was not in good health, that he would have, or today was not feeling well, would not have gone out before Mike and the public to do that. So yeah. It must have been something that was unexpected.
Well, Congressman, we're up against the break. I really appreciate you just making a few minutes, giving us your thoughts. We'll wait and see how the district lines play out. And in the meantime, thank you for what you're doing.
It's all just wait and see. So we'll just see how it goes out on the 14th.
All right. Congressman Robert Adderholt, okay. Thanks for your time, and you have a good day, sir.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Phil. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. I ran that one long just to get his final thoughts on McConnell in, but let's go ahead and take the break. Boom. We'll do that. Come right back. I got a few additional thoughts for you on this situation with the district lines, because there's been some strange stuff in the news. I'll tell you about it. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. I don't have much time because I ran long with the congressman a moment ago. I tell you what, though, the other piece of breaking news, because there's all these little odd one-off stories out there. You got Hunter Biden, you got Mitch McConnell. The other one is, I may have to do a dipper on this sometime soon, this whole thing about they're having a big... Have you heard about this, Boomer? The hearing on UFOs in before Congress?
Wait, UFOs? Like, you mean the UFOs?
Yeah, like unidentified flying object. Like
wait, having a hearing about this?
Little green men things, yeah. I mean, they're so...
Little green men? I don't know. They may say they're green. Who knows?
Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here. But no, they're having a major hearing. There have been so much in the recent years about... And they don't. If for some reason, somebody decided you can't call them UFOs anymore. I don't know why, but they're.
You don't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah, like UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, or something like that. Like, okay, let's make it harder. But, but yeah, they're having a major hearing right now. They're bringing evidence. They're disclosing. And we've had congressmen actually stand in front of the press in the last few days and say this hearing was going to be one of the most revealing hearings on the question of UFOs and alien life. Perhaps ever, and that there's some, and more than the Area 51 speculation,
right.
There are some saying there's actually materiel from a crashed UFO in the possession of the U.S. government right now.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Well, I'm excited to hear what they say then.
Part of me thinks, so what, watching the way the world freaks out sometimes, what's going to happen if all of a sudden we realize we are truly not alone?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean... You know, everybody right now is into everybody's feelings. But then if they find out that there's a, you know, other life,
yeah,
I don't know what people are going to do.
I look at like certain movies that have clearly indicated, you know, what I think are accurate depictions of popular reaction. Suddenly there's looting in the streets. People are running around, stockpiling, you know, and there's some who are returning to church for the first time in their lives, and others are, you know, out there screaming in the streets and looking at the skies, and some are partying on top of skyscrapers calling for E.T. to come get them. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think it'll be something. I don't know. We'll see, man. Those hearings are going on, like, I think they're going on, like, right now.
Like today, like right now.
Like right this minute today.
Interesting. Right now. I'm going to look online and see if I can find something during the break.
E.T. phone home. we'll see. All right. Hey, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. I got a few more on this districting thing. Some crazy stuff's happening. Like, who's getting out of the case? Who's been thrown out of the case? What does Congressman Barry Moore say? We'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all of them issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number two already. Keep in mind, top of hour number three, we'll be starting off with the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. You don't want to miss that. Hey, let me jump over real quick. I just got a traffic alert. Thank you to Caitlin in Huntsville, my daughter, by the way. I'll just go ahead and say that. Just sent me a quick update, WAFF out of Huntsville for our Huntsville drivers. There's a crash on Research Park Boulevard near University involving a dump truck that has impacted traffic. So police are saying that all southbound lanes and two of the northbound lanes inside of Research Park from University to Bradford are closed. Use an alternate route. So anyway, the bottom line is, if that's your commute site, as you get close to go-home time here on the midweek, you might want to find another route just to avoid it, or at the very least, check ahead. WAFF may have the updates for you as this thing progresses. But, yep, there you go. Research Park, crash with a dump truck. You don't want to do it. Got a text here where, you know, Mark from Red Bay, with regards to Hunter Biden, says, what's the chance of getting Hunter's trial moved to Alabama? I'd like to serve on that jury. I am sure you would. And then John from Huntsville texted in on the thing of alien life form. Boomer, do you ever watch the old black and white Twilight Zones?
Yes.
He just brought to mind one of my, like one of the creepiest Twilight Zones ever. Aliens landed. So John says, first on John's text, he goes, if there's aliens out there, I hope they're nothing like those aliens on that Twilight Zone episode titled To Serve Man. And he goes on to say something I'll get to. So To Serve Man, UFO lands. Everybody's excited because the giant alien steps off the UFO and he's got a book. And he sets the book, he goes and he speaks to, I've forgotten who, like maybe Congress or something, I forgot who it was now, but he goes and speaks to a group and he lays a book down the table and walks away. And they begin transporting people to their planet so they can see, you know, what's up on their planet and do an exchange, so to speak. And they're trying to translate this book To Serve Man. And they're thinking, what a wonderful title. We translated the title. It's called To Serve Man. Yay. What's the rest of it say? At the end of it, the hero in the story says, don't do it. To Serve Man. It's a cookbook. So...
Oh, no.
So I was like, I mean, the first time I heard that, I got like these cold chills all over me. It's like, holy crap. And all these people are on the UFO flying off to their planet. Bad idea. Take a vacation right here at home, I'd say.
Yeah.
Time for a staycation. Thank you very much.
Staycation.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, by the way, Karine Jean-Pierre just did a press conference and she was asked a question about Biden, who has nothing on his schedule today, and she said, I've not had a chance to talk with him today. Oh, okay, so he's just napping? What's happening? We don't know. Hey, on this, I'm going to wrap this thing up on the districting. I probably won't do much on this story again until the 14th when they go to court next month. But here's the thing, a couple of things. So we just had Congressman Adderholt on, who, you know, he didn't have much to say about the actual redrawing of the lines except to describe, you know, the process, but the... But the, you know, the sense of it was he's like, well, it's always been Etowah in my district, and we'll see what happens on the 14th. It might come back in. U.S. Representative Barry Moore, who, by the way, was named by CPAC as the most conservative member of the Alabama delegation. He's been on the show multiple times. He and I served in the state legislature together. But U.S. Representative Barry Moore from down yonder in the Wiregrass area says he was relieved when he saw the map. He was, like, good with it. He says, it didn't bother me. I was actually relieved when I saw the map. I think we've done a good job. I think the people will choose us. Our plan is to continue serving the people and let them choose who they want to hire. So Barry's taking a wait-and-see approach, Congressman Moore. And, you know, at least publicly, he's saying he has no angst. Now, personally, I'm thinking it's obvious who the junior members of the delegation were. The most redrawing was done in Congressman's Jerry Carl and Barry Moore's district. Guess who are the two freshmen in the delegation? That would be Moore and Carl. So they got theirs gerrymandered a little bit, but there's that. Here's a weird deal. You remember how this thing started with a lawsuit, right? The plaintiffs filed suit against the state of Alabama saying the maps that were currently in existence didn't allow enough black representation in certain districts. That they said we've been diluted and that we need to have, in their opinion, two districts at the very least based on our population of blacks citizens in our state, that we needed to have at least two districts drawn that way. Well, the interesting thing is the plaintiffs are now saying they don't all want to be together anymore. What? Well, the case is still active. It goes back to court again on the 14th of August. And right now, Yellowhammer News reporting that attorneys representing the Milligan plaintiffs, because the case was called Allen versus Milligan, filed a motion to exclude the Singleton plaintiffs. So Senators Bobby Singleton and Roger Smitherman, two state senators in the Democrat caucus who were fighting this thing on their own, they're also named parties in the suit. Now the other plaintiffs don't want them in the case. Why? Well, the only reason would be is if you feel like you've got as an attorney, I'll just tell you, the reason why you try to separate from other potential plaintiffs and not have same representation is because you feel like there's a conflict of interest. There's some adverse position to the other. Well, right now what they're saying is there is a sense right now that the rift among the plaintiffs could involve the fact that the Singleton plaintiffs promoted one theory that kept counties intact, whereas the other ones just wanted to draw them just willy-nilly. And they don't want to be together because they don't want to be in court and disagree. That's a new wrinkle. I mean, that may not sound much, but I'll just tell you, what that does is it opens up Pandora's box, in my opinion. It indicates that clearly there's not everybody's on the same sheet of music. Let's put it that way. And now I guess the Singleton plaintiffs may have to get their own representation and see where that goes. A couple last things. Court-appointed cartographer withdraws from the case. So here's another one you look at and go, really? So there was a special cartographer. That's a map drawing guy. A special map drawing guy had been in this case since the beginning. He was the one who helped the court as an expert witness. He has now resigned from the case. They got to find a new map drawing guy, and that's interesting. The last one I've got, Paul Feinbaum. I would not normally call it. Well, I'll call out Dale Jackson when I have to, but I would not normally call out, another radio guy that I don't ever interact with. But in my opinion, Feinbaum needs to stick to sports. So Paul Feinbaum came out with a piece that 1819 News picked up on it today. It says that Alabama's new redistricting is just like George Wallace in the schoolhouse door. Now, I will tell you, he does not profess to be an expert. He just professes to be a guy who talks. Supreme Court of the United States, he says, ruled recently the state legislature in Alabama needs to redistrict the congressional lines because of discrimination. If I remember reading the story correctly, well, you don't, Paul. You don't remember correctly. You don't at all. He says, if I remember reading the story correctly, the state legislature refused to do it. My understanding of civics is the federal government's ultimately going to win this battle. This sounds very much like 1963 and George Wallace and schoolhouse door. And that's the stupidest comment I've ever heard from somebody being a pundit and being paid to talk. So the reality is, Paul Feinbaum, you need to stick to sports because, dude, that is a nowhere near reality. What the court did say, Mr. Feinbaum, is that there needs to be some opportunity districts, some opportunity for black citizens to have a greater say in what is and who is elected in their district. It didn't say anything like what you just said. It also didn't say, by the way, that the federal government already wins. By the way, go back and look at the Dobbs decision, how we overturned Roe v. Wade last year. The federal government does not always win. All right, listen, that's enough of that. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I am switching gears. I'm moving to one that we love, kakistocracy. Oh, Lord, kakistocracy, a government run by the least competent of its citizens. Seems to be a lot of that going around. We'll be right back.